Check your phone. There's just a last minute. Last minute text on Chris's phone.
Good morning. When I was younger, about 10 or 12 years old, I remember this one Christmas where it felt like there wasn't enough food, and it must have been a week or two before Christmas, and two or three people showed up at our door with full boxes. And I just remember thinking, wow, we are gonna have a good Christmas. We'd have food to eat, we'd have some gifts to open, and I just remember being so hopeful. Thinking there has to be a God out there that loves us this much. And I just wanted to share that, you know, in case some people are thinking, I don't have enough to give towards the Champlain Hampers. Anything you give is going to make an impact. And I thought maybe we could take this idea of sharing hope. And I love how Apostle said last week, our love is demonstrated in our giving. So let's love well this Christmas. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's all rise on our feet this morning and give God the glory. All the honor, because he is God. Let's rise up on our feet, please. Let's thank him. Amen.
Blessings that I cannot see.
come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
What a grateful heart.
What a grateful heart. With a song of praise, with an outstretched hand, I'll bless your name. Thank you.
was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah, you are born it again, Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, God is impossible specialist. Jesus, yeah,
Jesus, yeah. You are coming again, Jesus, yeah.
In your special way.
Your special way. What was impossible?
About
you made possible, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. You are coming again, Jesus, yeah.
Making that which was impossible possible. We believe, and our capacity and ability to believe did not come from ourselves, it came from you. For it is your faith that we have, and you believe in yourself, in us, and through us. Lord, oh God, there are no impossibilities. For Lord, oh God, this day you will do extraordinary things in our lives. You will do extraordinary things through our lives. You will do extraordinary things by our lives. Father, we give you praise, O God, that all is well with us because your name is exalted in this place. Your word, O God, declares to us that if you are lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Lord, it is not just by our lifting, but this day we acknowledge that you are the risen Lord. You are the ascended Lord. The one seated at the right hand of the Father. You cannot get more lifted than that. So we know, Father, that all men are now being drawn. You are making that which seems impossible possible. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place and for the manifestation of your glory. We testify that it is so. We give you praise, Most High, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. One more time, Jesus, yeah.
Jesus, yeah. You have done it again. Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible, you made possible. Jesus, yeah.
Why did you stop?
I don't know.
Quiet.
What was impossible, you made possible. Jesus, yeah.
Glory to God.
Jesus, yeah. You have done it again. Jesus, yeah. Special way, what was impossible, you made possible. Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. You have done it again. Jesus, yeah. In your special way.
Hallelujah. That song has been ringing in my spirit since this day started. I didn't even know if they knew it. And 2 minutes to the service starting, I asked, do you guys know this song? It's amazing they had this, had it on the screen. I don't know how they do these things, but let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. But I don't know how you can be singing that song that God had made that was impossible possible, and you're standing like a pillar. It's not possible. I think you need to dance. Amen? So we're going to sing it 5 times. And in those 5 times, may God help your feet to move. Amen? Hallelujah.
Jesus, yeah. You have done it again. Jesus, yeah. What was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have done it again, Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, yeah. Again, Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible, you made possible, Jesus, yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You have done it again, Jesus, yeah. In your special way, what was impossible.
So good. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. What happened to my mic? Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord? Let that song continue to ring in your spirit as it's in mine. It's time to celebrate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, worship team.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. What was impossible, you've made possible. Somebody personalize that and say, God has made all things possible for me.
God has made all things possible for me.
Yes, that's the truth. He's made all things possible for me and for you. Hallelujah. All right, let us pray for our children. We give God all the glory. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, innumerable. We just are grateful. Thank you for life. Thank you for giving us abundant life for us and our household, for all our biological children, their spouses, their seeds, and all our spiritual children, partners, extended families, children standing in this altar, those hearing the sound of my voice, everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, we give you praise. Thank you, God, that we are all your children. And you watch over us from every continent. We give you praise. Father, our lives belong to you. Our lives is meaningless without you. May you always be in our lives. May we always surrender our lives to you. Be with every household, every child. May they know you intimately. May they know the God of their fathers. In the mighty name of Jesus. May they not know ungodly gods, but may they know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ be their God. And may they serve only you and hear your voice and follow your ways. Be with them in their classes, in their workplaces, in their education, their career, in whatever they do in ministry. Minister grace to them in their businesses. Father, we give you all the glory. May we remember you, that it is you who has given us the power to get wealth. And may we continue to give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name. And those that are sick, we declare them, be healed, be restored, be made whole. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, bless you. See you later. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. We receive your spirit and we receive your life. Have your way in this service, in our homes, in our cities, in our nation, and in our church, in ministry, in everything we do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God forevermore. All right. One scripture reading this morning is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6. It's not very long, but we can do it quickly. All right. There, starting from verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. This is Paul visiting the churches and cleaning house of the mess that is going on. Praise the Lord. Don't go talk to people about other people, about people's issue when you've not talked directly to the person. Verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Should I read verse 6 again? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong, and you defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Effeminate, those, you know what it is, this. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So don't be deceived. God says, "This, if you have all these things, you can forget the kingdom of God. May you drop them and join the kingdom today in the name of Jesus. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Say amen. Thank God for cleansing us. Verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So your body belongs to God. So spirit, soul, and body, you are God's property. Say amen. Verse 14, and God had both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. So any hidden secret sin, fornicating, committing adultery, doing crazy stuff, and think God is not there, God is present. We turn those things back to the Lord and repent and take know that you belong to God. Somebody say, I'm God's property. Yeah, 100% you're God. Say amen. Somebody say, I'm 100% God's property. Verse 16. I don't know what's going on, but praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm 100% God's property. Some of you are not too sure whether you belong to God. You still belong to yourself. Say, I'm 100% God's property. Say amen. Yeah, if you belong to God, then God has to watch over his property. That's his job, not your job. Amen. He's your caretaker, caregiver, life giver. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he's my everything. Verse 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Well, that's why you must read your Bible. So this is like in the middle of something. But the churches in Corinth, they were fornicating more than the Gentiles, than the ungodly. All kinds of things that are not mentionable were going on. Just like in the church today, you have so many crowded people, nobody knows what's going on. People are doing crazy stuff, but they still come to God. And they raise their hand before God and they think that's okay. Paul is saying, this is not okay. This is truly who you are. If you join yourself with an harlot, you have contaminated yourself. You are one. It's not a matter whether you are going to be, you are automatically one. May we turn from our wicked ways and turn to the Lord. Say amen. Most people in church don't do harlotry, but you know what it is. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's the point. May we join ourselves to the Spirit of the living God. Say amen. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. So if you practice immoral sexual sin, you hurt your own body. May God deliver. I don't know who the word is for, but may God deliver you today in the mighty name of Jesus. 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So spirit, soul, and body glorify God. Amen. Somebody say, my spirit, my soul, my body, all belong to God. Say amen. So if they belong to God, sickness and disease, you can command them to leave you. Amen. They are not God's property. You are God's property. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that my spirit, soul, and body belong to you. So does the spirit of soul and body of the body of Christ belong to you. As we surrender ourselves to you, May you have your way in our lives today. Where we are weak, we choose strength from the living God. In the mighty name of Jesus, those struggling with pornography, struggling with immoral sexual sins, struggling about abusing their body, Father, today may there be liberty and freedom for every one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thoughts of the mind, thoughts of the of action, those that have physically done it, Father, set everyone free in the mighty name of Jesus, that they dedicate their lives back to you and say, Lord, have your way and take control of my spirit, soul, and body, that my spirit, soul, and body will worship the living God. We magnify the Holy God, because if we don't commit ourselves to you, you said we will not see the kingdom. May we all enter your kingdom and remain in your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for your convicting power. The Holy Ghost is the one that does the convicting. Convict and restore in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word that is going to go forth into every one of our lives. It has gone forth, but more of it is coming through. We thank you, God, for all that you have done for us. We thank you that in this season, we are not into things, but we are reflecting on why you came for us, on why you have manifested your glory into our lives, that we will worship you and know that the King Jesus, he reigns forever. It's no longer a baby in a manger, but he's now the King of glory. Father, we bless your holy name. And it's coming back again, for your word says we should look up for our redemption draw nigh. We look to you for everything. We look to you and not to man and not to things, but we look to you, O God. And we thank you for breakthrough, and we thank you for coming through, and we thank you for staying, and we thank you for your sustaining power, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your Holy Ghost fire that is present right now, that you begin to burn every debris, sickness, disease, pain, sorrow, shame, lack, and everything, death from the lives of all your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for your resurrection life that is quickening everyone that is hearing the sound of my voice, bringing them back to their rightful state, rightful mind, rightful statue, in Jesus' name. Thank you now for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, prosperity. Touch your people and save all Israel. Your word say all Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Israel, your firstborn. Father, remember your everlasting covenant. That's the seeds of Abraham in Christ Jesus. And the physical seeds are all blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, touch your people. And out of this, bless all nations. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So we receive that same covenant blessing for the nation of Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Uruguay, Spain, and Bolivia. Touch your people and all the islands of the seas and all First Nations of the earth. And everywhere one person or two or three are calling upon the name of the Lord, save that nation. Bring leadership, godly leadership to that nation, and restore your people, and bring revival to the house of God. The fire of God that has left the church, let it come back in the mighty name of Jesus. Raise young men and women, old and young, to the glory of your name, that we begin to pray and seek your face and say, Lord, cleanse our land, save our people, restore your glory, restore your fire. Thank you, Lord, for the power to give, that you touch your people to give. At this time, they reflect to give to the Lord. Give to their leaders who have helped them and nourished them. Give to their families and give to the poor and begin to do the work of Jesus. Minister grace in this service. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, healing and deliverance. wholeness and restoration and testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your holy word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated, Apostle.
So when God reproves you, he also calls you to watch, to see the answer when you reprove, so that you say the answer to the question, to the rebuke, the solution. He gives you the key to the lock. God doesn't want you or I to fail. He's fail-proofing you and fail-proofing me by providing the answer that we need for the problem that we are facing. We're talking about prayer. The purpose of prayer is to bring us to that place where we receive solutions, where we become problem solvers. Praise the Lord. Say it again, I'm a problem solver because I hear from God. I have answers every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. It's a joy to be in the presence of the Lord every day. And I just want to say, well, Thanksgiving was Thursday for those partners and sons and daughters that are in the States. We celebrate with them Thanksgiving and just say thank God for his faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. Week last, we're talking about life. What does life consist of? And the Word of God says to us that it's not based on the accumulation of things. And most times what we pursue as people and that which we use to define ourselves as important or successful is stuff. Stuff. And we worry because of stuff. We fret. We struggle. We have sleepless nights because I don't have this. I don't have that. How can I get this? How can I get that? What must I do to be at that high level position? And the Lord tells us very clearly in Luke 12, that's not where life is. Luke 12 and 13 says that a gentleman, somebody came to the Lord Jesus and said, Master, speak to my brother. Talk to my brother. So that he divides the inheritance with me. Most likely, this is a junior son because the older one gets everything primarily or double. And this one is holding on to the inheritance. And this younger one felt, that the one that was holding on to the inheritance, the resources, the finances, everything that the father or mother had, that he should share some of that with him. Fair enough. He comes to the Lord Jesus and asks about that. And the Lord says, who made me a judge about that? Whether he gives or doesn't give. I am not made a judge or a divider over you. And then he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. That throws everything off. Because the one who was asking him feels that the brother should share with him. And that one is not there, and he is saying to everyone there, take heed and beware of covetousness. Not just talking about the one that did not divide, but to the one that was seeking whatever it is that he was seeking. Everybody. All of you, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Don't live your life to grab and grab, 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 grab. I'm going to get everything I can get. And can everything I get. So that's not how to live life. Life is not about stuff. There's something more important than grabbing stuff. What's important is your soul connection, your spiritual connection with God. That's what's important. And so the first and primary thing that every one of us must address is this situation of covetousness, greed. It is greed and covetousness that causes us not to be givers. You're planning your whole life out. I'm going to do this and then this and that, this and then that and that, this and that, that. And God is not in any of that. God is not in it. And you think, I've done well. I have a nice house. I wear nice clothes. I have nice shoes. I have, you know, nice designer purses. And, you know, I have this sharp-looking car. In fact, I have cars and I have vintage cars and all of that. When you die, what of those things are going with you? You've not invested in that which is eternal. You just invested in stuff that will rot. And God says, that's not the way to live. You and I must first seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto us. He tells his story then about this rich man who had a bumper crop and he had so much. He had barns, but now, man, he's so blessed. That's what he thinks. I'm so blessed. I did all of this in my own strength and in my own ability. What am I going to do with all this fruit, all this harvest that I have here? And he thinks to himself and says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to fill it up. And I'm going to relax. I'm going to retire. I have enough. And just as he's thinking all those thoughts, God says, thou fool. You're a fool. Today you're going to die. And all this stuff that you've gathered here, what is it all for? He says, so is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So the point is that I need to be what? Rich. Rich how? toward God. Not just rich, but rich toward God. Rich towards God in what way? Because my thoughts are totally committed to doing that which is pleasing on His sight. He says, you're investing in what I have invested myself in. You're rich. When God calls you rich, you're rich. Hallelujah. But when you call yourself rich, God looks at you and says, fool. You fool, dummy. You've not invested in that which is important. Invest in that which is relevant, real, and eternal. That's where your focus needs to be. Don't take thought for your life, or for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drive. He says, stop worrying about those things. I know you need those things, but your body is more than the meat, and your body is more than the clothing, it's more than the shelter, it's more than all of that. I tell you what you need to do. I need for you to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. And all of these things are going to be added to you because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Give you the kingdom? Wow. The kingdom is more than my local community. It's more than my city. The kingdom is where the king reigns. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the capacity to reign. The capacity to rule. I'm going to give you kingdom life. This is so important to me and so important to you. So I tell you, if you don't have something to give, sell whatever it is that you think you have so that you have something to invest. Just sell something. You know, most of us, if we have a need comes up and has to do with ourselves or with somebody that is part of our family, and that need has to be met, but we don't have the money in the bank. We don't have it in stocks and shares. We don't have it in bonds. We don't have it anywhere else. But we've got something in the house, some cups, some furniture, a car, something that belongs to us. We will sell it to solve the problem. Is that true or not? Is that true or not? I'll ask the question again. Is that true or not? It is true. You sell something to solve a problem. You sell something to meet a need that is important. You sell something for something special. So the Lord says, sell. Sell that ye have and give alms. As you go sell something to give, he said, yes. Why is that important? Because that's how I get to bless you. You don't get blessed with your hands closed. Closed hands receive nothing. sell and give alms. He says, provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Provide yourself a system. Provide yourself a place, a setting that doesn't wax old. Provide for yourself a treasure. Someone say treasure. In the heavens that faileth not. Are you ready for this? If you have $100 in the bank, and you don't have anything else but that $100, how much can you withdraw from that bank? What's your most? $100. Okay. Let's go a little bit further. You have a bank account. Your credit is good. But you have $100 in the bank. And you want to buy something that is worth $600, but you have $100. When you go to the bank manager or the loans manager or somebody and say, I need $600 to buy something. But all you have is $100, but you have good what? Credit. What are the chances that you're going to get the $600? Huh? Very good. But all you had is $100. But imagine that you don't have a bank account there and they don't know you. And you come and you're asking for $600. You think you're going to walk out of that place with $600? Very slim. That's how it is for some of us. Your account does not have credit attached to it. But you want God to bless you. You want more than you have invested. You come and you give 2 cents. God forbid back then. But you want 1,000. And you don't have a good credit. When God asks you for something, you are not there. But you want. And then you're looking at somebody else who has $100 in the bank, but has $600 worth of stuff that they just allowed him to purchase or get. And you're saying, what makes him better than me? What makes him better than you is that he has good credit. You're building credit when you are faithfully focusing your attention on the things of God. You are interested in what God is interested in. You build in credit. So he tells us, I have a treasure. Hallelujah. Give, even the giving of alms to bless somebody. He says, you are building a treasure in the heavens, a treasure that faileth not. You want to have a fail-proof system. He says, it comes by giving. And it says, furthermore, it says, where no thief approacheth. It doesn't say the thief gets there. It says the thief doesn't approach. Hello? There's no what? Approaching. In other words, the thief knows, forget that. That's secure. I cannot go there. because the Lord rebukes the devourer for my sake. Where thief, no thief. The devil is a thief. Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and what? Destroy. He says he cannot approach. He cannot approach because you're a giver. That means when the enemy comes after you, when you are honoring God, you have the right to say, where is this coming from? The thief is not supposed to approach me. Angels of the Most High God, what are you doing? Why is this thief approaching? How is it that they have access to come after what belongs to me? In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you and your courts are rebuked. I am a partner with the Most High God. I am interested in what God is interested in, and you cannot mess with my stuff. Hallelujah. It says, neither moth corrupted. I didn't know about this until recently. I had something somewhere. And moth, some little moth like this, had gone into this box. And the whole thing, the whole box of cereal was much. It was like powder. I say, huh, that's what moth does. It corrupts. That's why you have something called moth balls. Yeah? Kills it. God is saying, I want you to have that which will not allow moth to bring corruption. Why is this important? It says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be also. In other words, if you are not a giver, you are corruptible. The Bible says in the last days, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. Guess why your love waxes cold? It waxes cold because, not because you are not reading the Bible, not because you have not been praying. It waxes cold because you are not a giver. Okay. Some of you might get annoyed with me. I don't care. Because my first responsibility is to speak the truth. And it's your decision to hold on to the truth and live by it, or die without the truth. Your so-called love for God, if it is not attached with giving, that love is going to be corrupted because you have no investment. You've not invested. You've not proven by your daily action that you are sold out to God. But when you've invested in God, and that's who you believe in, you are sold out to Him, the enemy will fight every which way, but you will still be stable because you have invested in God. I've come this far by faith. I'm not going anywhere else. Jesus asked his disciples, what are you guys doing here? And he said, where else are we supposed to go? You have the word of life. But really, the better part is John 11 when he says Lazarus is dead. And he says, okay, let's go, let's die with him. Because we've left everybody and we followed you. Now we even found out that you're a false prophet. Let's go, let's die. Because I'm not going back. When you've invested in God, it is more or less impossible for the devil to shake you off. Backsliders. Backsliders are people who are not givers. If you check them all through, you'll find out that every backslider is not a giver. They may have given like Ananias. You know that guy? He gave something, but it was not all of it. But he lied that it was all of it. When you have given your whole being, you totally surrender to God, like Mama was saying, I'm a property of God. I belong to God. The devil looks at you and says, forget it. This guy is not going to change. He's already sold out to God. Let's go find another fool to deal with. Your best vantage point is to be what God says you can be in Him. He says, let your loins be girded about. Your loins represents that place where you are productive. That's your production center. It brings about the next generation. Hello? Let your loins be girded about and your light burning. What does light do? Light gives. Hello? Light is a giver. God says, cause your light to keep on shining brightly. Your light, let it shine and cause darkness to scram. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him, what? Immediately. And the idea is, be an immediate giver. You're going to give? Do it. He goes on and says, this is an interesting thing. Remember, the context is about giving. But watch what he says now. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. Remember the Lord talking about watching and praying? Yeah? Can't you even give me 1 hour? Yeah? This word watching is synonymous to giving in the context of this passage. Watch and pray. Give and pray. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. Who's going to serve them? The Lord. He says, he's going to say, sit down. And himself will come and serve you. You mean from my giving, God is going to come and serve me? Yes. What do you think God is doing every time he answers your prayers? He's serving you. He says, and if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants who are ready no matter when he comes. Ecclesiastes says, give in the morning, give again in the evening, you don't know which one is going to bring the production that you need. In essence, just keep on giving. When we are givers and we're connected to God that way, His word says in verse 39, and this know, that if the good man of the house, the good man of the house, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief is going to come, he would have watched and not have suffered or allowed his house to be broken through. In essence, God is saying to us, you don't know when the thief is going to try to come. But this you must know. If you have a treasure in heaven, the thief cannot approach. So, watch this. In consistency lies the power. Let me say that again. In your consistency lies the power. In your consistency in giving, does the enemy have no access? Well, now and then I give something. I'm a giver. I give last year. I'm a giver. I always give something. It is in your consistency. It's not in your once in a while. It is in your consistency. Now, God didn't tell you how much your giving should be, but it needs to be honorable. Yeah? That you gave $5,000 last year. And then you gave $2,000 in January. And then you didn't give anything until July. You gave $1,000 in July. And you didn't give anything else. And it came to October. You gave $3,000, $10,000. That's not what counts. That's not what counts. Is that you're consistent. That you create a system of consistently releasing from your hands unto God and His purposes. That's where the thief doesn't have access to break through. I'm not making it up. I'm reading the scriptures to you. Am I not? Okay. It says, if he had known what hour the thief will come, he would have watched. And the word watching and watched here is synonymous to giving based on the context of the passage of scripture we're reading. So God is saying, every opportunity you have, give. Every opportunity, give. You may not have much to tell the world about all that you've accumulated, but he says to you, your life does not consist on all of your accumulation. You are building, you're putting stuff out there. And you are, guess what? When you're praying, you are also withdrawing from your account. Do you have an account? Now, God does not just give you based on your account. He gives you based on everybody who has an account, just like the bank will give you a loan based on all of the resources they've got from everybody. Huh? I had a totally different message, but the Lord brought me back here. Because somebody needs to get it straight. Hallelujah. About 30-something years ago, the Lord said something to me that was remarkable. He said, everyone who is a tither has an account with me. I said, okay, that's good. Thank you, Lord. And says, all the tithing and all the giving in this church, I account to you and to everyone who is a tither. So when I look at the tithing and the giving from Glory and Peace Church, at that time we were Place of Peace Family Church, I don't just see how much you gave, I see how much was given by everybody, the tithers and the non-tithers, but accounted to those who are tithing. That's what you gave. So if we gave 20,000, he says, you give 20,000. He says, you give 20,000. He says, you give 20,000. He says, everybody gave. I said, wow, that's good, that's good. He says, oh, but no, you didn't get it yet. I said, what didn't I get? He said, everything that all tithers gave in your city, you gave. I said, huh? He said, I look at the church in Winnipeg and all the tithing and all the giving I assign to you. And I assign to everyone who's a tither. I say, huh? He says, you don't get it yet. Everything that was given in this continent. I said, you mean everything that's given in the world too? He said, yes. So everybody that gave, if we gave 1 billion or 1 trillion to God today, God assigns that to me. And therefore, I have access to all 1 trillion. Did you hear that? Because he looks at the church is one body, one person. But the benefit is tapped into by those who have an account in that treasury. They have access to it. So I ask you today, how much do you have access to? God wants you and I to be participants in this glorious move of grace. When we do not honor God, is not obligated. Let me say that again. God is not obligated to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's not obligated. But he is obligated when you are fervent in faith, following through with him. Somebody says tithing is an Old Testament feature. Okay. Do you know that in a sense you might say that the tree in the garden was God's tithe, it belonged to him? And that when man ate it, he became naked and accessible to the enemy? Did you know that tithing preceded Moses and the law? Did you know that the high priest, Jesus, our high priest, watches over our tithing and our giving? He watches it. God is interested in your account. He's meticulous about it because he has to honor his word concerning you. He's obligated to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And therefore, he keeps his records. The first person God went to among the Gentiles and revealed himself to and could not be stopped was a man called Cornelius. He was a giver. That's why. A woman that was raised from the dead called Dorcas was raised back to life because of her giving. Hello? Your giving is important. You must take it seriously. Because it shows the heart of love that you have for God. The Bible says God so loved that he what? Gave. You must so love God that you give. First thing that, other than the miracles that were done in the book of Acts, first demonstration was that they were all given. They were given. And the abuse of giving brought about the first death. The death of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember those two? Yeah. It was connected to giving. Giving either gives you life or gives you death. It gives you life when you're honoring God. It gives you death when you are deceptive. Here in Luke 12, he says, be therefore faithful, for you do not know what hour the Lord is going to come. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. When you think not, he's going to come. In Luke 18, it talks about prayer, and he says, when he comes, will he find faith? He's going to come. He's going to answer you. He's going to address your particular issue, sometimes not at the time that you think, but this for sure you must know, he will answer. He will respond to your particular situation. He will address it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm released to go somewhere else, but it's connected. So I want you to come with me to Psalm 44. This might seem like totally going off track, but we are still on track. God wants you and I established. And God wants you and I to come to that place in Him where the questions about His faithfulness are no longer questions that we ask. Friday night, we prayed through this particular psalm. And here in this psalm, he says, we have heard. Please stay with me, because we've not left the other point. We're going to see how all of it pulls together to address a particular aspect, which is the rebuking of the devourer. He says, we've heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. We've heard about all these miracles that you did. And I heard Mama, while she was praying, she was talking about the fathers relating to this same concept. He says, we've heard. We've heard the things that you did in the old times. The miracles that happened in the old times. We've heard about all these things. We heard how you did drive out the heathen or the pagan, the unbelievers, with thy hand. You did it. And planted them. You drove one group out and you planted our fathers. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. You afflicted those that were in possession of that particular turf. You drove them out, you cast them out, and you gave the place to your chosen ones as their possession. Verse 3 says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. Now, let's connect what we're talking about and what we're talking about now together. You think that it's your hard work, your passion, your skills, your whatever, that's how you're going to make it in life. But I can show you people that were or are highly educated that are broke. People that are doing 2-3 jobs that are still broke. Not because of the amount that they are earning, but in spite of it. They have more problems than they can imagine. He says, God, you gave us this land, and it was not based on the sword that they had or their strength that saved them. He says, but thy right hand, your right hand, your arm, and the light of thy countenance. Why? Because thou hast a favor unto them. In essence, it was because of your favor that they came to the place of possessing whatever they possess. It was not based on their sword. It was not based on their strength. It was not based on their skills. It was not based on their abilities. But in spite of it, yes, sure, they used the sword. Yes, they had their strength. Yes, they had their skills. Yes, they had all of those things. But that's not what brought it about. Because it was not their sword or their arm of flesh that brought down the walls of Jericho. No. And the first thing you and I must get rid of is this sense that my skills is what is going to make me blessed. God is saying, no, 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 no. What gets you blessed is my favor. That's what's going to get you blessed, my favor. So make certain that you have my favor on your life. How? By recognizing this, that thou art my king, you are my God, and you command deliverances for Jacob. Now, that's a very important point. Command deliverances for Jacob. Before I go into that, let me go to Psalm 30 and verse 5 in relationship to the favor of God that he gives to us. I want to bring something across to you this morning. He says, for his anger endured but a moment. And then he says, in his favor is what? Life. Now, that particular phrase, in his favor is life, can also be translated as his favor is for a lifetime. Okay? That's an acceptable translation. But it does not give us the full essence of that statement, in his favor is life. In his favor is life. In his favor is life. Life is in what? His favor. Life is in his favor. Life is in his favor. Say with me, life is in his favor. Hold on to that. Now go to Leviticus 17 and 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. So life is in the what? Blood. Life is in favor. Favor is in life. Life is in the blood. Yeah? And I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Okay. Life is in the blood. Favor is in life. Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Favor is in life. So, favor and the blood have been described as the same thing. Are we together? So, what is God talking about when he says about favor and life? This is what God is saying. Remember, the blood of Jesus was something that was what? Given. Yes? Life is in the blood. Favor and life are the same. So this is what God is saying. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready. This blood connected to favor brings you to the place where God is saying, I'm going to take care of your bloodline. So it's not just a lifetime based on from now to then. God is saying, listen, when we connected, I'm taking care of your bloodline. I'm going to go way to the past, step into the present, go into the future. I'm going to clean everything up. Hallelujah. Because part of how the enemy is able to operate concerning your resources and your finances is based on, get this, based on whatever has happened in your past. Do you know that there are altars that were based, oh, God help me help you. There are altars, and every altar demands a gift. It demands blood. It demands life. Are we together so far? So, when we're talking about the bloodline, there are altars in your past that where sacrifices have been made. And that is impacting your system. And God says, I'm going to go right through based on your connection with favor, based on your connection with giving. I'm going to rebuke everything in your past that's haunting you, trying to steal the blessings off of your life. I'm going to deal with all of that. And based on what you're doing now, I'm going to deal with everything in your future, your bloodline, you and your children and your children's children. I'm going to sanctify everything. When we talk about giving, we're not just talking about some foolish nonsense. We're talking about life. Is somebody listening? When I'm giving for my life and for my family. And the Word of God says, to 1,000 generations. Don't be collecting stuff here, and there's no reason why you shouldn't. God says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm going to give you all of those resources. But start right. Focus your attention. Hallelujah. Don't let me be preaching this kind of message again and again so that they start saying, oh, that pastor, all he wants is your money. No, hear this. Make it part of your life. Once and for all. Connect with it. Hallelujah. Let's go on Psalm 44. So I begin to get this plane to land. Verse 4 again. Thou art my king. Remember, he says, I'll give to you the what? Kingdom. O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Jacob is now Israel. And now he says, command deliverances for Jacob. Jacob was the past. Whatever deliverance I need, command it. Command what? The commandment of blessings. Where does this commandment of blessings take place? It takes place because we are walking in a love set in one with another. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dwell together in unity. When we are loving each other and we're walking in unity, we try to outdo each other in our giving lifestyle. It says, the other thing you need to know about favor, verse 3, is for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither their own arm saved them, but thy right hand. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid. I am your God, I will help you and I will uphold you, I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with my right hand. God is your upholder with his right hand. The right hand is a right hand of blessing. Amen? He says, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, the light of thy countenance. In Numbers chapter 6, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, 26 in particular, and I'm going to come back here. It says, the Lord what? Bless thee and what? Keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be what? Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom. Prosperity. Praise God. How? Because the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. The Lord, rather than being angry at you, he's smiling at you. He says, when that happens, my name is going to be written on you. He says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. How? My name is tattooed on them. That means that you're now his property. When you are his property and you see yourself, yes, as a friend of God, but as a slave, a doulos to God, then you know that your primary responsibility is to serve the desires of the one who is King and Lord over you. You're his servant. Yes, you are his friend. Yes, you are his son. But there is a place of service. When you are there, he says, I'm going to bless you. That's guaranteed. Praise the Lord. Back to Psalm 44. And the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Verse 5. It says, through thee, now this is important now, through thee will we push down our enemies. I was trying to find something to illustrate this particular aspect. But everything here is precious. I don't want to do the next part to it. So, but it says, through thee we what? Push down. That's through. Yes? Okay. If we're talking about through, we're talking about, oh, thank you. Somebody's thinking like me. Thank you. Blessings. Oh, okay. I'm not going to do the stepping through on this one because I don't want to break it. But through, that means that you are surrounded by this, through. Yeah? This is not through. Hello? Is this through? Is this through? Okay. Through. Through him, meaning that I am subject to him, I'm submitted to him. Through him, I'm able to push down the enemy. And then, didn't want to do that too hard. Step on the enemy. Is that what it says? Through thy name. The name of whom? The living God. The name of whom? Jesus, through him, will we thread them under. Who? Those that rise up against us. So God help you if you're trying to come against me, because there's only one thing that's going to happen. There's going to be a pushing down and a treading upon. It is what he said. So that's what's going to happen. You're going to be pushed down. I'm going to walk all over you. These shoes shall walk all over you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Through God, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Guess what? Your giving is part of your weaponry. Hallelujah. Through God, you are pushing down forces. He says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I'm not placing my strength and my faith in my capacities, my education, my pedigree, whatever else. No, 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 no. All of that is important, but I count all of those things dung that I may gain the excellency that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't place your faith on your plans. Your plans are good, and God honors your plans. But if you place your faith on your plans, there is a devil that will come in there and destroy those plans that you've got, and you'll be left empty. So start first with the kingdom of God. Start first with giving, and then God will honor those plans and protect those plans and make certain that those things that you have desired in your heart come to pass, and that you receive the fulfillment of His divine will and purpose for your life. That's how you do it. Amen? Don't place your trust in your bow or in your sword. Will God use bows? Yes. Are you a good archman? Possibly. But guess what? There was a man who had a big, long sword, and there was a kid that had 5 stones. The guy was a giant. The kid was the kid, but the giant fell. And with the sword that he came to fight, his head was beheaded. Your faith must be in God. Do your business. Be the best businessman, be the best businesswoman, be the best doctor, be the best engineer, be the best whatever, but make sure that the hand of God is upon you and making you a blessing, making you a good success. He says, meditate on the word of God. Don't let it depart from your mouth. He says, that's how you're going to make your way a way of success and become truly prosperous. Put the horse before the cart. Because if you put the cart before the horse is going to have arthritis. Yes, he's going to want to go and be pounding its knee. Huh? Don't do that. Let's all grow up in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you receive this word? Then rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are here about you. We want your name to be glorified at all times, in every sphere. Father, help us to be who you say we should be. Men and women that are generous, men and women that are givers, men and women that stand for truth, continue in truth, follow through in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, we bless your holy name, and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Hallowed be your name. Let every need be met, every concern addressed. Let not a word fail of the things that you've spoken to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling us to rest all around. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so very much. You may be seated. Today is Mission Sunday. I neglected to mention it last Sunday, but we've been doing this for the longest time that we should know, even if I don't say anything about it, that the last Sunday of the month is Mission Sunday. That means that we give twice. Amen. We give our regular tithe and offerings, and we give to missions. This new year is going to be a very explosive year in relationship to missions, that we need a whole lot of funds to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. The salvation is free, but the preaching of the gospel does cost quite a bit. Amen? I don't want to cause you too much of a challenge, but please do know that this new year is going to demand a lot for missions. Hallelujah. So we need to, and partly why we give every month is so that the amount at the end that we need is not too much to handle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm believing God. And I have some champions of faith. How many of you are champions of faith here? Those that, yeah, there's a few. I'm going to call some of you, you know, to step up and help me and Mama do some of the things that we need to do. But I call everybody. Some of you might be saying, what, champions of faith? What is that? Champions of faith are those people that are willing to go the extra mile. You know, they're going to give a substantial amount, you know, to help us bridge through certain things when we are doing missions. And not everybody can do that, but those that are able to whatever extent you can, we encourage for that to happen. So at this time, please come, let us honor God with our giving, and let's also give towards missions. Just mark it on your envelope. There's a, right in the center of your envelope is a missions segment. Just fill it out there and release a special offering for missions also today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to release those that are watching on YouTube and Facebook. We'll look forward to seeing you tonight. Tonight is going to be an anointing service, and I encourage you to come. The Lord gave me instruction this morning when I came at the early hours of the day to spend a quiet time with the Lord. He says, I want you to have an anointing service tonight. So I encourage you to come and be part of this new grace that God wants to release into our lives. And while we're at that, please be reminded that starting in January, the first Sunday is a Sunday of releasing the anointing and blessing our little ones, our young ones, and those that